Hi guys, welcome back to the Let God Podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, IFA. Oop, oop.
So guys, this week we are going to be talking all about craving external validation. And this topic really arose from a couple of questions and comments that we received on our anonymous Google form. One of them related more to kind of how to not place your self-worth in academic and career achievements, and the other one was just more generally about seeking validation from other people, and maybe it can come from relationships, that sort of thing as well. So we're going to get into it, share our experiences, etc. But as always, before we begin, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Yeah, of course, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to speak just about validation and dealing with insecurity, Father, and learning to have an identity that's grounded in more than other people's opinions. And we ask that you would guide this conversation, Holy Spirit, and help us to just reflect your heart and just encourage our listeners and encourage ourselves during this conversation. In your name I've prayed. Amen.
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 So before we launch into the icebreaker, as is the usual routine, I just want to give a shout out to the poll that is in this description about our live show. Please, if you're a UK listener and you would ever want to come and see us talk our talk in real life, fill that out. We are planning to hold a live show and we want to know how many of y'all would, you know, want to come down. Like, you know, we want to put on a show. So we need to know, you know, how much bread we have to buy, how many seats we have to fill, you know, just the necessary requirements. So please fill out the Google form. We would love to have as many of you guys there as possible. Yeah. But let us proceed into our icebreaker. Basically, last night we was just, you know, kikiing, we were watching film, having some takeaway, and we were just reflecting on how our quality of life would have been significantly better if we'd all gone to uni in America for several reasons. Too many to name, but I want to ask you ladies, what is the one thing that you wish British unis had that American unis had? And maybe then we can Uno reverse it and say one thing you prefer about British unis, but I don't know if I'll find anything, dear.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like game days.
Yeah.
Oh, like the sport.
I feel like it's like an actual thing. Yeah. And it's for like all sports. Like people actually like wear the college.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a real thing.
Go out.
And you know, you have like the marching band, especially like, you know, the HBCUs, they be doing their dances, their formulations.
The dancing dolls.
Oh, stop. Yeah. Like, this country could never.
What about you guys?
I think homecoming, like the idea of like there's 1 week where like all the alumni come and like you just have a good time. There's like a cookout.
Yeah.
You just like, everyone's out. You know, the sun is shining. It's like late summer, you know, school ain't really started, so you just like, it's just cute, you know, just cute,
it's
and fun,
good vibes.
Good vibes.
I also just feel like American uni to me seems far less stressful than British uni.
Yeah, we can, let's talk about
this
that
as a babe who went to Cambridge, which is a particularly relentless and ridiculous place to study anyways, but it's just the idea of having like assignments rather than like constant essays and like
and quizzes.
Yeah. Pop quizzes, let's get into that. What's a pop quiz? And also getting credits for like showing up and like doing random classes like black film studies and stuff to make up your like what is that?
My sister literally, like, she goes to some classes that are like you have to come in person to like pass a class, and she just be sending me TikToks the whole time. She's like, she's not even listening,
and I'm
like,
at that.
Looking at college education.
Having the time of her life.
She is. She surely is. She truly is.
I also wanted to add, like, just this is the HBCU thing in particular, but like, you know, like the fraternities and sororities from HBCUs in particular. Let me make that very clear.
For those who don't know what an HBCU is, it's a historically black college or university, by the way.
I said what I said, period. But like, this is purely arising from me watching like episode 3 of Bel-Air, and then Uncle Phil does his little dance, and they chant, and they be, you know, dancing in the street, doing their little, you know.
That is so embarrassing to me.
What's it called? What's it even called? Pledging? I don't know.
Pledging is like when you're becoming a
Alpha Kappa,
like, yeah.
the actual Greek part of the Greek life.
But the dancing, what's it even called? Maybe stepping. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I forgot. They said it in the show, but yeah, I'm here for all of that. But alas, my undergrad has now come and gone, and I just know even if I did, by some random reason, get possessed to apply for a postgrad in the States, it would just not be the same. You know? Mm. Sorry to ask. I hear it.
What about the Uno reverse? What are y'all's? The UK, the USA could never when it comes to British unis. I've got a few.
What do you think?
I think general classes, so like taking, like, my sister is like a business, international business and economics major, but she has to take like astronomy and like other things that like satisfy science, like her general requirements for like science, XYZ. So like I'd have to be doing math. You have to be doing math or some sort of mathematical course if you're a humanities up to like second year. Also, it's like a 4-year degree for most people. And I just feel like that's a bit of a waste of money. Like, why do I need to be in uni for 4 years? It's not that deep.
Also, I would say, like, for, because obviously Ayanfe and I, we do like law and medicine respectively. We wouldn't have even been able to do that yet. We would have had to do like 4 years of undergrad and then gone to do law postgrad. Bro, seven years of uni. Yeah, no.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, can you imagine? Brain finished. There's no way. I'm barely coping as it is. There's no way I could handle an extra 3 years or whatever it is. Mm. But other than that, chair, I mean, yeah, the system's student broken, loans. But they're having a great time.
Student loans stuck over there. They don't have our
British student loan. SFE student. Obviously not SFE.
It's just federal. It's just federal loan, so it's like a real loan. That's it.
Oh really? That's why they really be stressing about paying it back, I think.
Yeah.
Because like paying back your student loan, obviously, like it's a thing here, but it just kind of
it's not that deep.
Deal with it. Yeah. Mm. It just goes back eventually. Yeah. That too. Ah. But the litty though, the litness.
It's true.
Well, guys, if you go to uni in America, because actually I think most of our listeners are from the States rather than the UK, let us know what you think is good or trash about American uni, because maybe we're living in a dream here. Maybe the grass is greener on the other side. I don't know. But anyways, let's move swiftly into our topic for today, which is about seeking external validation. And I'll just basically paraphrase the first question that we got sent, which relates to kind of academic achievement. Thank you, by the way, to whoever wrote in. They were basically just saying, as Christians who have reached kind of a high level of academic achievement, have we ever had to struggle with academic validation or to see our worth outside of our school marks? How do you get through academic failures still believing that God wants what's best for you and has your plans to prosper you and yet you're failing modules, for example? I would love to hear you ladies speak on this. What do you guys think?
I can start. I think in response to how do we deal with, can you just say the first part? Was it academic failure? They mentioned failure, but what was like the first part of their question? How do we deal with?
The first part of the question was like, if you've reached a high level of academic achievement, do you struggle with academic validation, i.e. seeing your worth outside of your school marks?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. I think, gosh, I'm trying to think back to first year, which is a while ago now. But I think everybody has that. There's like the usual conversation about like imposter syndrome, regardless of whether you go to a quote unquote elite university or whether you're just in a new space, a new academic space, and you're brushing shoulders with people who just have a slightly different education or educational experience to you. There's definitely that whole experience of, feeling a bit out of your depth. And, you know, if you're used to getting, I don't know, A stars across the board or nines or whatever it is now, and then you come to school and you're like not averaging the same amount of thing, I can imagine, yeah, that is an affront, I guess, to a certain part of your identity. I think for me personally, how I've sort of learned to, or how I'm trying to overcome that is, one, understanding that like God doesn't necessarily require, like God's best for me
is not necessarily synonymous with what the world says the best is.
Right.
And I think we can look at like the life of Jesus as the most perfect example. Like Jesus, if you think about it, well, I think we've definitely said this before, probably in like season one, or even just amongst ourselves, like girls in conversation, Jesus was man and God. So like all the technology that we have now and the things that we are even yet to discover was within Jesus's person all at once.
Right.
He had the potential, like the potential to be like the smartest, the greatest, the most powerful, the richest person ever. But his purpose was not to be all of those things, wasn't to be a pilot, wasn't to be a military leader. It was to be a savior. And he was born in a barn and lived a regular life and died like the most gruesome death. And that was his purpose. And so I think learning to divorce our best, meaning like what God has positioned us for from like the world's best, is really important. That doesn't mean that God doesn't value our hard work, but I think it means that we shouldn't, you know, put all of our identity and our self-worth in like, oh, did I get a first? Did I get 2-1? You know, things like that. Like those are great, great things. Who doesn't want a first? Like who don't want a 2-1? Who doesn't want an A star? But if God called you to do other things, or God's best for you was getting through uni and achieving a specific mark, but also valuing other things, whether that's community or your health or family things at the same time, then I think that is totally okay. And it's important to not allow other people's noise to get in the way of understanding that.
Just when you were speaking then, MH, about all the things Jesus could have done while he was on earth, but he chose instead to focus on his ministry and what he was here for, reminded me of Philippians 2, 5-7. 5-8, actually, when it says, you know, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The other verse that came to mind was Paul again in Philippians 3. And you know how he's talking about how by the world standards and by the Jewish, like, quote, religious standards, he was someone who was perfect and he had everything. He was like, if y'all was counting who's circumcised, like, I was the circumcisedest. Like, if you was asking, you know, who was the highest Jewish, you know, representative, I was even higher than them. You know, I was even persecuting Christians because of my zeal. And so this was kind of representing like him living up to the worldly standards of success at the time. But then in verse 7, he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What's more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. And I don't say this to say that what you're doing right now has no meaning whatsoever, but I think that whatever we do, whether it's academics or anything else, is meaningless if Christ is not in it, and if you're just kind of viewing them as standalone pursuits, because then they'll just become onerous and a burden, and they'll just become something that you need to do to either prove or exalt yourself. And by that standard, you'll never feel fully satisfied, because there's always going to be someone who is objectively smarter than you, objectively, you know, getting higher marks and those kind of things. So I think divorced from the giver of wisdom, the giver of knowledge, everything is going to seem like a meaningless pursuit. So I think that's one thing that's very important, is to just keep Christ at the center. And one of my elders from church, I was actually talking to him about something similar today, and he said to me, like, there's no such thing as little things in life. Like the discipline of showing up to your classes every day is just important as the things that you learn when you get there. And the journey of actually going through and the process of understanding what it means to learn and overcoming comparison and realizing that your academics aren't the sum of who you are just as important as the tangible grade that you get at the end. And he was like to me, you know, if you had gone to Cambridge and came out a skeptic, what would you have earned? It's better to get a 2-1 with God than to gain a first and only have the world. And that really resonated with me.
I love that. One Bible verse that came to mind was Colossians 3:23. But I'll start with 22. It says, bond servants, obey in all things. Okay, let's skip that part.
Yeah, I was going to say, verse 23.
And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And kind of similar to what you girls have already said, is just knowing who you're doing things for.
Yeah.
Every aspect of your life, you're doing it unto God and not unto men. And the thing about putting your validation in like things like education, for me personally, I guess I can say now, because my validation is not in academics at all.
that part.
But I think I got to that point because I experienced like I was shaken in first year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, medicine is a bit hard. It's harder than I expected. And from there, it was like, this thing is hard and I can't always predict. I can revise for 24 hours straight and not sleep and still get barely a pass mark. Mm. So if that's what I'm putting my priorities on, and that's what I'm putting all my stress on, is really not worth it.
Mm.
So... And it's just about putting, like, where does your identity lie as well? Because there's so many people in this world where their identity lies in their job, their identity lies in, like, I saw a tweet, it was like, there are students who study medicine and they're med students. Like, which one are you? And it's very much like, is it your whole life or part of you as a person? Like, there's so many parts to you.
Yeah.
And it's just making sure that you get your priorities straight and like don't put things that are so fickle, because one examiner could be having a bad day and grade you badly,
yeah,
and then the same work you can put to another examiner and they'll grade you 2 times the mark. So I think is just best to do everything as unto God. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't try hard, and because the Bible said that you should do everything as unto God, but don't put your whole
self-worth
identity on it.
Yeah, exactly. Was there a second part to the question? How do you get through academic failures? How do you get through academic failures, Diz?
Guy, as I'm sat here now, I'm in the process of getting through one. See, the thing is, like, with academic failure, I think especially if you've grown up as someone who has always been considered academic, like, you know yourself, like, you were the goody two shoes at school, you was getting the 10 out of 10 in your spelling test, you probably got a level 5 in your SATs, all that kind of thing. I think then entering university could be a shock to the system, because suddenly it's like you're a small fish in a very big pond when you're used to being like the top dog. And I think this question is kind of inextricable from the first one, because I think it's only when you have in perspective that academics is not the sum of who you are that you can even begin to address the question of how to get over academic failure. Because if you see yourself through the lens of how society would have us see ourselves, as like numbers and letters and metrics, then getting over failure is so much harder, because you conceptualize that as I am a failure rather than I just failed at this thing. So I think it's about really just having your identity grounded and just constantly just like asking God to show you to show you a lesson in every difficult season, just as you would with any other rough patch in any other aspect of your life. I think there's nothing that God can't be in if you don't invite him. And I know you can feel like you are disappointed by God because you feel like you're praying and you're being faithful and you're doing your best. But I think remember that whatever it looks like right now, God is still on the throne. Like, God ultimately is still in control. I know that's easier said and heard than actually believed, but...
I think one thing about, just to add on to what Winifa said, I think one thing about school failure and specifically is like, especially for me as like a fourth year who had a year out, I say every day, I can't wait to get out of this place. I tell everyone I hate this school. Like, I tell them, I hate this school. I can't wait to leave here. And like, in all seriousness, although my sentiments are very, like, I'm serious about that. I think the positive of like school and school failure is the fact that it's like, it's not going to be forever. Mm. Of course, yes, there are, you know, repercussions, consequences to like failing in school. But I know of people like in like recent years or like, yeah, in the last like decade, half a decade, who graduated with a 2.2, you know, so like maybe not what people are necessarily aspiring to all the time. And they still have great jobs and they've built great careers. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, this is literally a seasonal thing. And, you know, of the various periods or seasons of life that are so undefined, school is one that is very defined, you know, very structured. Mm-hmm. It has a very clear trajectory. Mm-hmm. So like, I think alongside what Wanipa has said about divorcing your identity and your worth from academia in general, also remember like this is just a season, like literally, even if it's just like, oh, I just need to get through this term, and you get through it and you do what you need to do, then do that. Yeah,
right.
And God is God enough, as we said before, God is God enough to rescue you from you. Mm. Like, even what you see as failure, even what may really be failure, you never know what God can and does bring from that. And it just brings more glory to his name at the end of the day, when you still prosper, when he still blesses you, when you still get to the end goal, because you got there even when the odds, so to speak, were stacked up against you. Mm. So
I definitely agree with what Mary Hannah said about seasons, and just remembering in the grand scheme of things are seasonal. There's a time for everything.
Mm.
And sometimes the season that you're stressing about in a few years, you would have forgotten about it.
Facts.
Yeah.
And just as even like a very tangible real life thing, like I remember doing GCSEs at the time, like they're important, but everybody made it seem like this is your life, bro. Like, there's no coming back if you fail any. And like, obviously I didn't, glory to God, thank you Jesus, but like, since then, has one single person ever in my life asked me about my GCSE grades? Talk less of something rogue. Like, I remember like the day before my GCSE geography exam, I was crying, bro, in my classroom. Aww. I was in hot tears trying to remember how many people died in the 2006 tsunami. Like, I was getting stressed that I couldn't remember every fact and like how high the waves went. And then it's kind of like, you're a graduate now, babe. It's really okay. Do you know what I mean?
So no, I really
think, like, whenever you find yourself flailing, just like try to remember where God has brought you through. You know,
yeah,
he's never failed you yet, baby. Just keep going.
I love that song by CC Winans, by the way.
Which
he's
one?
Never failed me yet.
I don't
it's
know.
Called He's Never Failed Me
Let
Yet.
Me it
it's so
roster.
Good.
I was more thinking
so
of Mary Mary, like, I just can't give up now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was listening to Mary Mary the other day. That's literally my whole entire childhood.
You know, people singing at the front and they'd be like, they'll listen to the voice, listen to the message. Anyways, so the next question, does someone else want to ask it?
Sure, I can ask it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the next question is, how can I stop looking for validation, not from men, comma, but from people or close friends in general? That's a tricky one.
It's hard.
Even if it was about men, like, mm-hmm. trying to stop looking for validation from anybody is tricky.
Hard.
Mm. How do we stop? How do I stop?
Have I stopped?
No, that's the real question.
Much to think about.
Or how am I stopping?
Mm.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Me personally, this is me, Mary Hannah. I learned to stop looking for validation when I removed myself. One thing that aided me, from looking for validation, is when I removed myself from the social media sphere. Not even because I had, like, I was popping on socials or I had a mass following in any regard. My socials were on and off private mode and I was tweeting like it was my diary half the time. But I think, like, that was part of the issue. You know, it's like when you're pouring your heart out on Twitter and then, like, nobody's, like, you get, like, one like or one friend saying, like, are you okay, dear? And you're like, actually, no, I'm having a breakdown. But on a serious note,
that's me on my burner every day. I'd be posting my deepest secrets, and then I'd be like, I'm doing so.
But yeah, on a serious note, for me, removing myself from socials really helped. I know that's not for everybody, but I remember even when I did was more active on social media, like I would periodically go through and just like remove people who were not remove people in terms of like my friends or people that I knew, but like celebrities or random babes. I'd been like, oh, I like her hair. Like I still like her hair, but just she don't need to be in my face. And that's more about, I guess, like comparison. But I think it can also link to trying to get your value or your validity from other people. Mm-hmm. I think it's also really important to understand that like we're not islands, and we were not created to live in isolation. So even if you're the most confident person or you've worked past comparison or trying to get validation from others, their people's opinions in your life will still always matter to an extent. Mm-hmm. Whether that's just your closest friend, your partner, your parents, your sibling, maybe your boss or whatever, like people's words and actions will have weight. So don't be taken aback when you're like, oh, what that person said really hurt you. I think just more when you can sort of try to tune out the voices of other people that maybe are a little bit just unnecessary. I know that sounds a bit harsh, but where you can lower that. And I don't know, I need to think more about like what I've done in recent years to like trying to stop earning other people's validation.
I think one thing that has really helped me is kind of, I think, drawing closer to people who I feel get me. Because I think one thing about seeking validation is that for me, it looked like feeling that I needed to play up certain parts of myself or else I wouldn't be as liked. So I think, like you guys know from listening to this podcast, I mean, hopefully you think that I'm a little bit funny just now and again, but I really have felt like growing up, I really leaned into the, oh, let me be a clown, haha, I'm so funny, so entertaining, and had let that kind of be the sum of my personality. And there was a time where I was, you know, feeling very anxious that if I wasn't that people wouldn't like me, for example. And I think finding really close friends who understand that I'm that, but also a lot of different things, and understand my faith to a large extent, because that was another thing I felt like maybe I didn't feel I could express as much, because that's not what's popping with the world, and that's not what people are interested in and find quirky and cool and relevant. I think having that firm base of people who you can look to and say, okay, cool, but these are people and they like me and they understand me, is super helpful. Because there's even times where I felt like God has been calling me to do something or to stop something or to act a certain way, and I've been, the one thing that has actually been prohibiting me from doing it is fear of what people will think, and being worried that I won't be received in the same way if I act different. And there's this verse I always remember, which is, I find it kind of hilarious, and I think it's in Luke. I can't remember exactly where, I'm just paraphrasing, but it says, you know, do not fear man who can only kill the body and after that can do more. Instead, fear God who can essentially dispose of you for good. And that's not to say, that's not for you to lean in the opposite direction and fear God as in be terrified. That's a whole study in itself. But I think the idea is like, sometimes I really just pause and be like, but what can people actually do to me? Like, let's actually get into it. Like, even the worst thing anyone can do to me, like committing a crime against me, they won't do it. And so it's kind of like, I'm really contending with either being who the creator of the universe called me to be, or holding myself up to the opinions of people who will, at very worst, delete me from social media or find me irritating maybe even make a passing comment to me. And I think just really putting things into perspective, it's difficult at first, but I think once you really grasp the magnitude of the various parties that you're dealing with, it's a lot easier to reason.
Yeah.
I think one thing I've learned about, I don't really feel like I seek validation from people. I feel like most of my validation comes from my home. And obviously, I was raised in a Christian home, so like my parents constantly, my siblings pour a lot of love and like positive affirmations into me. So I personally, I don't feel a need to look outside. But then just moving from that, I think when you look for validation, it's quite easy to try and people please, whether that's trying to fit yourself into boxes that you feel like you should be in, or what other people want to put you in. And the Bible verse I found about that is Galatians 1:10, and it says, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." So like we've said before, it's like, where are your priorities? Are you trying to please man or please God? And even just practically, if you're a people pleaser, it's very easy for people to not respect you, because they'll think however way their opinion changes, you will also flow with it. And I think it's best to have your own foundational beliefs and just in general. I was watching a video, and then even the man was like, when you're a people-pleasing person, you're so fickle. So like the opinions of people can really change your mind, and you don't really need fickle people in this world, especially because this world is fickle enough. So you need to lay your foundations in Christ. And I think that's what I've learned.
Yeah, that's really good. I just want to hop off that point and just say, like, also for me, I was just thinking about it practically. One thing that's helped, like, not seeking validation from people in general, whether that's like deeper things like desirability, or like really frivolous things like, oh, did somebody compliment my hair when I just got my hair done, or like I got new shoes or whatever, it's just like, just literally do the things that you like. Like, literally sit down, like, sort of like what Ian said, sit down and think about what you like. Not what aesthetic is cute.
Right.
Not what, like, people are saying is cute. Like, what do you like? Because when you really actually like this or enjoy this or believe this, that confidence that you have in it, whether it's identity, like in terms of, like, your actual person, your character, or, like, the things that you buy or wear, will carry you through. At least it does for me most of the time, past other people's, you know, changing winds. I just feel like when you know what you like and who you are and you're true to that, and I think there's something to be said about how these things come with age, because I think if someone was telling me this at 14, I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. Right. But now, like, turning 22, I'm like, I couldn't give a singular heck what anybody is saying at the moment. You know, but yeah, as you grow up and as you figure out more of yourself, I think you'll find out, like, what you like and what you really believe in, how you see yourself, and who you understand yourself to be, through God's eyes, and often that'll you living through that confidence and, like, making decisions out of that confidence will hold you over, like, other people's changing opinions or flipping comments or whatever it may be.
And just to hop off that as well, MH, I definitely agree that it's something that hopefully, God willing, will come naturally with age, and I think it has for all of us. But I think it also, there's a direct correlation with my, I guess, self-assuredness, not my self-assuredness, even my assuredness in Christ, as my relationship with him has developed. Because if I even think about who I am now and how comfortable I am with potentially not being liked, or how comfortable I am with who God has created me to be versus the people who I might look at on Instagram or whoever's doing this and that, that has really developed with my understanding of God as well, and his heart for me. And I think that if it weren't for me going on that journey, I'm going to borrow this phrase from MH. It's me speaking here. This is Bonipa speaking personally. If I hadn't come to know Christ the way I have, I would still be the same shell of myself who I was at 18, that was just so anxious about people's opinions and would just agonize over every stylistic decision, every hairstyle decision, every part of my makeup, because for me it's kind of like, if I'm not validated by someone else, then I'm not good enough. And that shell of myself was really only going to be able to be filled by the knowledge of the saving grace of Christ. So I think just trust that God is taking you on a journey right now, and eventually, like, your feeling right now of maybe it's stemming from insufficiency will be filled by the one who is more than sufficient for you.
Yeah. That's good, man.
Do we want to wrap up? Does anyone else have any final thoughts?
I'm not sure if we said this. I feel like someone, Winipa or Aimfa, I think it might have been you, Winipa, said this about the people that you have around you. Mm-hmm. Did you say something? I just really want to harken back to that really quickly.
Yeah.
Because I had a friend who told me something similar when I was explaining some stuff to her at the end of last year, which I had, like, been grappling with. And she was like, the thing is, like, you don't have enough people, like, who are in the same situations as you. Mm-hmm. And so that's why your head is spinning all the time. And that's not to say that you need to only surround yourself with people who are basically, like, clones of you in terms of, like, social situation or relationship status or wealth or whatever the situation may be. But just in terms of, like, understanding that you're going to be drastically, like, if you are a believer and if you, like, are Bible believing or, you know, whatever you want to phrase it, like, if you have an intimate relationship with God and are trying to actively, like, be obedient, your life is gonna in more ways than one look different to, like, the average person maybe that you see, right, or you on the street, or that you're crossing paths with in work or in uni or wherever you may be. And so surrounding yourself with like-minded people, or and with people who have, like, similar, if not experiences, outlooks, and situations, I think really helps with not having to struggle with that validation, because it's sort of like
you feel like, you know, less, like, of an outsider, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, I think part of the issue with validation is, like, sometimes it feels like other people have something that you don't, and so you need other people to, like, affirm that. So it's like you're not the outsider, you're not the outlier. But when you're with people who are more like you, not your clones, because everybody's different, but more like you, I think you have more room and more space to be like, actually, yeah, the way I think about this is okay. Even if it's not everybody thinks like me, like, you get to have a, I guess, like, a community. That's what I mean. So that whole idea about not being an island, you get to have a community that affirms you in a way that doesn't affirm you in a way, affirms you in a way that doesn't make it, like, that doesn't impact, like, your actual identity, because these are things that you've resolved within yourself already. You're just now surrounding yourself with other people, right, who kind of get your vibe.
Right. And I love that so much. And that just made me think of one thing. I'll make this point really quickly, but about how, like, you know, we always say, like, oh, comparison is the thief of joy. And I feel like if you're constantly surrounding yourself with just images or ideas that are so, like, fundamentally opposed to you, you're always going to feel like you're lacking something. Because, like MH said, like, I think a lot of external validation comes from you feeling like someone else has something you don't have, and in that you can end up missing the goodness that you yourself have, and that you're actually exactly where you need to be. And I was discussing in my Sabbath school a couple of weeks back, I can't even remember what the topic was, but someone linked back to the story of Jacob and Esau and made the point that, like, Esau was so focused on his something that he didn't have in that moment, that was food, that he failed to see the greatness of the blessing of his birthright that God had for him. And it's like, I think when you're so fixated on what you don't have, you can really miss out on the greatness that you do have, and you'll never be able to like tap into that properly. So I think that's just my thing, like, don't miss out on your blessing by focusing so much on getting approved by someone who's blessing and their life is just so different from yours.
So we have come to the end of the first half of our season, so we're going on a little mid-season break.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah.
While we're on our break, you can go back to our previous 3.5 seasons and catch up with those episodes. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for the people that ask the questions on our Google form. As always, you can always give us more episode suggestions or questions, and please fill out the poll or Nipa mentioned at the start of the episode, it'll really help us to plan so that we cater for as many people as would like to come. And as always, you can find us at Let God Podcast on all social media sites. Yeah, thank you so much for listening.
Bye. Bye. Oh. Bye. Love y'all.